Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 397, top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you, Leah.
Bit of a windy day.
Oh my gosh, it's so windy.
Good washing day.
It's a really good washing day because it's not the kind of like rattle your window wind. It's quite forceful though. But like your sheets would dry in 20 minutes.
Actually.
Sorry.
What was that? Is that WhatsApp?
It's my fan club loving me sick. Sorry. I thought I put it on silent. Must have pressed it the other way.
Sounded like an alarm.
I don't know if that would wake me up.
Okay. Too subtle. I'm eating a Twiggy stick. They're good.
Is it delicious?
Yeah. You know Jamie Lee Curtis?
Do I ever?
Good, because we've got a quiz about her a little bit later on in the program. Mm. Why'd you make that noise?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Automatic reaction.
Yeah, not sure. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Eddie's here. Ginger cat Eddie.
Hey, bud.
Okay, his job's done. Okay, so Jamie Lee Curtis was in a thing that we've both watched.
Yes.
Which we will talk about a little bit later on. But now I see no reason not to get into the thing that we like to call the
use.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Gosh, that was good. We didn't even...
Nah, didn't practice. We didn't. We didn't.
Okay.
We are so good at improv.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis is talking about how, like, about what her plans have been for years for her retirement in terms of, like, Hollywood's aging problem. You know how they're like, too old, you're gone. And she said that basically it's because of the way she saw her mother, Janet Lee, and her father, Tony Curtis, mm-hmm. both be treated, both male and female, in Hollywood. She said, I witnessed my parents lose the very thing that gave them their fame and their life and their livelihood when the industry rejected them at a certain age. She said, I watched them reach incredible success and then have it slowly erode to where it was gone, and that was very painful. She said, I have been self-retiring now for 30 years. I've been prepping to get out so that I don't have to suffer the same as my family did. I want to leave the party before I'm no longer invited.
I think she is actually invited to every single party at the moment. She is in everything.
Everything.
But unapologetically so, and unapologetically herself. She's not subscribing to, I am going to adapt myself, my face, my body, my anything to your standards. She's like, you take me or not.
You are 100% on the same wavelength as I am because I thought immediately when I read this, I'm like, no, she's almost bigger than she ever has been terms of popularity. And it's because she hasn't had anything done. So she can play the people who are older characters because she looks older because she is.
And because she's such a qualified actress.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, she's an Academy Award winner.
She's raw and she's gripping, and it makes you stop and go, hang on, my interest is in that character, maybe not the main one.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm interested in this one over here.
Tell me the backstory of her.
Also, in the same vein, let's be honest. What we're going to suggest today, Pamela Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Actually, both of them have not had work done. The only thing that, later in the article that I was reading about Jamie Lee Curtis, said that she did have something done at about the age of 25 or something, and she regretted it immediately. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, we know that Pamela Anderson had her boobs done years ago, and she must be having to maintain them or something.
Yeah, you have to. I think every 10 years that
it's expensive. It's like veneers.
The what?
Veneers.
Yeah.
You have to get them done, don't you?
See, I think, I don't know, actually. I guess so, drinking tea and coffee and stuff like that. But I do think there's a difference between doing work when you're younger to enhance your beauty versus age-defying
work. Yeah, sure. I understand what you're saying.
I'm not judging either, but there's still
pressure.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's still a result of pressure, but yes, I understand what you're saying. We're so, gosh, we're wise.
It comes with age and lines.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So brave as well.
Yeah. Worry lines. Oh, laughter lines. Sorry.
Oh,
yes,
sorry.
Yes,
laughter.
Laugh in the face of worry.
which is exactly what Coyote versus Acme, the film, is doing. Now, this was a film that the world was told it was 100% made but would never get released. It was just shelved. They made a whole movie and then decided not to release it. Well,
interesting.
It's being released now that I think the internet has spent the past couple of years talking all about it and saying, we wanted to see. I can't believe you made a whole entire film about characters that we know really well. And then you were like, nah, can't be bothered.
Yeah.
So Will Forte, I never know how to pronounce his last name.
I don't know, but Forte just sounds fabulous.
Better, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. Will Forte was at San Diego Comic-Con and he announced that the film is coming out 28th of August.
2026.
Okay. So it's about Wiley.
So that thing that's already previously been made is going to take another year.
Yes. Okay. For some reason.
Yeah.
It's about the Wile E. Coyote suing Acme Corporation for all of its faulty tools that he keeps using to catch the Roadrunner.
Yeah, why wouldn't it have been released? That sounds hilarious.
So what they did was it was made, Warner Brothers made it, and then once it was made, they shelved it so that the company could write off the $30 million budget. It's all about weird tax, the way tax works. Isn't that weird?
I don't get it.
So strange.
Beyond me.
But they obviously went, you know what? It's been 2 years and people are still talking about it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'd go to the movies, like, with the kids to see that.
Yeah. Oh, imagine having to, like, explain to them. New generation.
Nah, you just chuck on a couple of old ones, right?
Yeah.
First, get them watching it.
Why?
Oh, I can imagine a couple of belly laughs from Henry.
Oh, yeah.
He would.
Oh, yeah.
That's his sense of humor right there.
Dog.
Amazon. Let's have a look at some things that Amazon are making so that we can get ready to watch it once it comes out. So Amazon MGM Studios is making a live-action TV series based on the Bethesda game Wolfenstein, which is all about you getting the Nazis. I don't think it's zombie Nazis, but I've never played it, but it's Nazi. Like the bad guys, you're getting the bad guys. And one of the guys behind the Fallout TV series, which is also a series based on the video game made by Bethesda, was the creator, writer, executive producer, and showrunner, will also be basically the head honcho behind this one. Amazon were really as you can imagine, really impressed with how successful Fallout was. And they were like, okay, not only will we renew this one for a second season, but let's have a look at some of the other games that you've got and see if we can make another show out of that. So Wolfenstein, keep your eyes out.
Okay.
Oh, your eyes are, that's peeled. A bit too much.
Got them peeled.
Yeah, make sure that you can still blink.
Just the one.
Yeah, just the one there. And that concludes the news for today.
I've got a bit of news.
Oh, you do?
Just a little bit.
Oh, I do too. I just got a quick one. Okay, you go first.
So, you know how there's a certain project being filmed in New York under the name Project Cerulean?
Why don't they just, anyway, yes.
Well, because the crowds are big enough as it is.
I am seeing it all over Instagram.
So it is The Devil Wears Prada 2 is filming. Now, if you remember in the first movie, Anne Hathaway's character ditched Adrian Greiner's character, which That's everybody right. was really happy about because he was a pain.
He was like, can you please not be successful?
And
like,
please don't have a job and do it well because I really want you to clean my washing. Anyway,
yeah,
she's got a new love interest. And it is our one and only from Australia. We know him from.
It's not Chris Hemsworth.
No.
Liam Hemsworth.
It's not a Hemsworth.
Eric Bana. I'm just having guesses.
If I said Colin from Accounts.
Really?
Yeah. So.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to just show Leah a photo.
Oh, my gosh.
Looking all very dapper in his suit over there.
He's made it.
He has made it.
That's incredible. I'm a little bit proud.
Yeah, our love interest.
Wow.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Because I haven't seen him in any of the Instagram reels of behind the scenes shooting. I've basically just seen Anne Hathaway and Stanley Tucci.
That's I've not seen him at all.
That's so cool. That is great news.
So if you're wondering who we're actually talking about, because we've not mentioned his name at all.
Sorry.
Patrick Dremmel who is our Australian actor and writer. He wrote Colin from Accounts with his partner.
Yeah.
He's also been in Glitch. He's in Bluey. I mean, how can you get much bigger than that? He's been in everything. He is apparently set to be the new love interest for Anne Hathaway. So I was going to see this movie anyway, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Now I'm really going to see it.
Okay, I've
I love that it's not someone like a Hemsworth.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, he's a good love interest.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a movie that we're going to see at the movies. Mm-hmm. I've got another one for you, Good Fortune.
Yeah.
This stars Keanu Reeves as an angel who decides to be the guardian angel for this guy who is basically kind of like your door dasher, you know, and he's living paycheck to paycheck and he's a little bit jealous about the fact that Seth Rogen is the guy that he keeps delivering stuff to who has made it, you know, like he's his own made man. Anyway, Keanu Reeves has decided to take on the task of swapping their roles, swapping their lives, just so that each of them can get a taste for the other. Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, yeah, kind of, yeah. I really want to see this. The cast looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks really good.
And it's Keanu Reeves. And it looks like a comedy. Like, it is a comedy. It's a comedy.
Yeah. I think I'd like to be a guardian angel.
Yeah?
For my next job, my next life.
All right.
I want some little wings like that. And
they were little, weren't they? Like, when I think of wings, like angel wings, I think of the ones from Dogma. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck ones.
Majestic. Exactly. Strong.
Ones that look like they could actually hold up.
A human.
Yeah, or an angel, but they are not the one. So, a couple of films to look out for. Very exciting. Okay, now we need to get into things that we've been watching.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
The Last Showgirl.
Mm-hmm.
Pamela Anderson, Jamie Lee Curtis, Billy Lord, a.k.a. the granddaughter of Demi Reynolds, the daughter of Carrie Fisher, and other people. Oh, the Dave Fatisto.
Yes.
This was a film that you and I had talked about wanting to see ages ago, just as the Hollywood awards buzz started around the award shows, before the Academy Awards, way before, maybe around the Golden Globes, maybe?
Even film festivals?
Yeah, probably something like that. And we were like, oh, I would like to see that. So we both independently sat down and watched it. Actually, you said, oh, I watched it. It was on Stan. And I went, oh, I'll watch it too, so we can both talk about it. And it was exactly what I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's about Pamela Anderson plays a Vegas showgirl who's been in a show for
like 40 years or something.
Something ridiculous.
No, it wasn't that
about
long.
30 years
or something. Yeah.
However, the show has run longer than
Razzle
that.
Razzle dazzle.
Sorry. And after this incredibly long run, they get the news all of a sudden that the show is closing, and it's this. I guess how would you describe it? It was a really interesting, almost delayed coming of age story in that she's now close to 60.
57 years old.
And it's this interesting feeling of
she still wants to be a dancer. She still wants to be on the stage every night. But there's no space for her.
There's no space for her. But also, has she missed out? Has she used all of her golden years doing that show and missed out on so many other things in life because the razzle dazzle of a Vegas showgirl,
including
took over.
Being a mother.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the way she acted because I've seen her. I saw her cooking show. I can't remember what it was called now. At Home with Pamela Anderson or something like that. Cooking show recently. That's not her.
No.
She's really awkward in this show.
Really awkward.
And everything she has except for her car is dated.
Mm-hmm.
She has a Walkman.
Or even her hairstyle.
Her hairstyle,
when she's
her
just
clothes.
Being herself.
Exactly.
Not on
she's
stage.
Dated. And so is obviously her job.
Mm.
And there are all these subtle little things. Her friend is Jamie Lee Curtis, who used to also be a showgirl and has moved on, has a gambling habit though and works at a casino to basically make money so that she can then gamble it away.
Mm. But she also is facing the same thing, even though she's come off the stage and she's just a waitress in the, you know, pokey kind of section
slot of the machines.
The slot machines of the casino. She's also getting upstaged and favored or unfavored over the younger ones.
Yes.
Which was another interesting thing of like, well, you move on from one thing and you're still not good enough.
You're still too old.
The one thing that really made me think, though, with the Pamela Anderson character was, yep, she had this really big career. But as the story went on, they kept mentioning how many people were in this show, and there's, you know, 80 dancers in this show, and there used to be 160, and that she used to have a solo once upon a time, and she's just slowly been moved line by line to the background. And, you know, someone at one stage said to her, you're not a very good dancer. You were cast because you were beautiful back in your 20s. And I thought,
that's really rough.
That's a rough knowledge of what your life has been.
What I thought was interesting was that there was no, within that character, there was none of that pressure to be young, none of that sort of ego, that jealousy of the next person coming up.
Because
that's such a typical story with that kind of, you know, show and showgirl and whatnot. That wasn't, she was just happy to be there.
And still had the pressures of the show though, as in, you know, get on stage quickly. Oh, gosh, she accidentally ripped the costume. She would have to pay for it to be replaced.
And
those sorts
Even
of
though
pressures.
The show was getting close 2 weeks later, it was a bit weird. I thought it was a the actual visuals of the movie were strange. On the sides were all sort of blurry.
Do you know what it felt like to me? The morning after a big night on the Vegas Strip.
Huh, yeah.
You know, where the sun is rising on the desert and everything in Vegas is a little bit
hazy.
Hazy and grimy. Mm. It's not what it looked like last night.
It's true. Yeah, that must have been what they were going for. Mm. It was really cool.
Really cool.
The Last Showgirl, that's on Stan here in Australia. What else have you been watching?
I watched on ABC iView an Australian production called Austin. Have you heard of this one?
I think so, but can you refresh my memory?
Yeah, sure. No worries.
Oh, thanks so
much.
No
worries, mate.
That's fine. It's really great. Thanks.
So Austin is, it begins in Canberra. It's set in Canberra, which I thought was such a significant decision to make, that they have made this particular show in Canberra, and why did they choose Canberra? And I'd love to hear the creators talk about
why Canberra?
Why Canberra over everywhere else? Because Canberra is never featured ever.
Anything.
Anyway, an author from the UK has travelled out with his wife, who is his illustrator. He's a children's book author.
Mm-hmm.
And he's travelled to Australia for a book promotion tour. And while they're staying in Canberra, right before he's about to do his, you know, book talks in various bookshops, he retweets a tweet that turns out to be from a neo-Nazi radicalist.
No.
And he very promptly, as you could imagine with the internet, he gets cancelled.
Yep.
Really, really swiftly. He wants to pull it off as, oh, no, 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 it's just like a storm in a teacup. Like, the guy had a valid point regardless of who he is. So he's been cancelled by the worldwide. He's been dropped by his publishing companies. The bookstores all over Canberra are quickly packing up his books and saying, no, you cannot present here. We don't want anything to do with you. He very rapidly finds a bookstore to do one presentation at least to try and sell a couple of books. When he gets to that bookstore, a young gentleman, sort of 30s, comes in with a crate full of books, wanting all of his books to be signed. And while he's introducing himself, he also drops a bombshell that he thinks that the author, Julian, is his long-lost father. It's an incredible, hilarious production that is a real mix between UK actors and Australian actors. If I can just read you the cast. So the UK actors are Ben Miller and Sally Phillips, who we all know.
Yeah.
They're in everything. The Australian actors are Roy Billing. We've got Gia Carides. Michael Theo is playing the title character, Austin. There are just so many faces. It is hilarious. It's so funny. The character of Austin, who is the long-lost son, he's a neurodivergent character, And it's
okay.
Written really, really well to stay true to this particular neurodivergence character and what the things he might like and how his family support him. And you know how they say there is a genetic link in neurodiversity?
Yeah.
It's really funny to go, oh, the author he's got it, he figured it out. Actually doesn't know.
Crack the code.
They have just released, I'm talking in the last two or three days, released season two.
Oh, nice.
On ABC iView. So if you're interested, if you want a little bit of a laugh on something that's really well written, Austin on ABC iView.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I have seen it. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay. I want to watch that. Another thing that I've been watching, which is season two and the final season, is Sandman on Netflix. Yeah. This is the one about the Sandman, you know, the God, the Lord over the dream world. And final season, and then that's it. It's really funny. There was a bit where he had long hair. And I said, there's absolutely no way I would ever know who that is. Because he's an actor. He's one of those actors that you've got different hairdo or something on. Suddenly you look so different, except for his voice. I could tell it was his voice. Ooh. And also, like, he's the main character. But I'm only one episode in, so I can't really talk too much about it. But he's off to hell again. He has to go and get his ex-wife, who he apparently left there 10,000 years ago. You know, sometimes that kind of thing happens. So I will check in again and let you know.
There have been some fun shows lately where they're exploring that whole the devil and hell and everything.
It's good fun. It's good fun. Henry's here. Henry, do you want to quickly say hello?
Yeah. Hello.
What have you been watching?
Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol.
Good show, Henry. Do you want some headphones?
Yeah, there very important.
There you go. Do you reckon we should get into the quiz?
Yeah.
All right. Jamie Lee Curtis. I'm going to give you the synopsis. You tell me the film.
Oh, I don't know that I'm going to be good at this, series. But okay.
When renowned crime novelist Harlan Thrombey was found dead at his estate just after his 85th birthday, the inquisitive and debonair detective Benoît Blanc is mysteriously enlisted to investigate.
Is it The Glass Onion? Yes.
No, well, no, it's Knives Out.
Knives Out
from 2019. 2019, which I think is really funny because I remember watching it during COVID, so we must have held on to it. Vader is obsessed with death.
I don't know this one.
Her mother is dead and her father runs a funeral parlor. When Vader's father hires Shelley, a makeup artist, from 1991. A middle-aged Chinese immigrant is swept up into an insane adventure in which she alone can save existence by exploring other universes and connecting with the lives she could have led. This is from 2022. She won an Oscar for this one.
No, it can't. It's a different cord.
Doesn't
that
work.
Attaches. Sorry, I'll have to do it later. Oh, give
Every
me.
Everything.
Everything is.
Everywhere.
Everything everywhere all at once.
Yeah. Really
good. I
didn't
see that.
It was good. It's crazy, but it's good. Tess and her daughter, Anna, do not get along. However, things take a turn.
Freaky Friday.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to guess what year the original? The original for these guys?
97.
I would have guessed 98. It was
2003. 2003.
Isn't that crazy? Okay, Henry, we've only got two more.
Oh, it was actually, now that I think about it, Lindsay was a bit.
Okay.
I want to see the new one.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. I want to go and see more movies at the movies. I say that all the time.
I sent you an email to a special screening.
Oh, yeah.
And I sent you.
And did we go?
Well, I sent you the email saying, would you like to go? Shall I book tickets? And you never replied to me.
I'm sorry.
It was a special screening and everything. Lucky I didn't buy the tickets.
No. In London. Sorry about that.
Fish Called Wanda.
What year?
I'm so good at this game. 1983.
Oh, 88.
Ah.
Final one.
Star Wars.
Is she in Star Wars?
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm going to, let's see. This will be like Google. I'm going to say one word at a time to see how quickly.
Okay.
A young chef.
The bear.
Yeah.
The bear.
Oh, the bear. Oh, the bear. On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
Blah, 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 blah.